This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Salome, She Wanted the Best for Her Sons, and is the first in our summer series this year.
You know, today we start our summer series. Our summer series is really character sketches of people in the Bible. One of the things that I find amazing, and I know you probably do too as you study God's Word, is how much like us these people are. There isn't a perfect person in this Bible but one, and that's Jesus. All the rest are as flawed as me and as flawed as you. They all have their little idiosyncrasies, they all have their little shortcomings, have their strengths, and both are brought out. Now, if you were going to write a spiritual book, and you were going to cast a whole field of characters in that book, you'd want them all to look real scrub clean and pristine and really looking good. You wouldn't want to say that these people who are followers of Jehovah, these people who are followers of Jesus, well, after they came to know Jehovah and after they came to know Jesus, they wouldn't have any more problems. Now, there are those who preach that. That you won't have any more problems, that you won't have any more issues with your finances, you'll never have a day's worth of trouble. But can I tell you something? That kind of teaching, that kind of doctrine comes straight out of hell. I don't know a Christian who hasn't had some difficult, tumultuous times in their life. It's not a straight line. It's as curved and it's as circuitous for us as it is for everybody else. But, I love that phrase in the Bible. So-and-so was going through such a terrible time and it was horrific and it was horrible. The floods were rising. But God. There's the but. But God. He intervenes in our lives. And so he shows us through these individuals as we sketch out the highlights and lowlights of their lives. He shows us a little bit about ourselves. And I'd like to share our first this morning. A little bit about somebody who you may be able to identify with. First of all, I'm not going to take a poll, but do you love somebody? Oh, they all put their hands out. What is it? We got a bunch of lovers, not fighters. That's okay. You love somebody. If you love somebody, you only want the best for those persons. You want the best for your spouse. You want the best for your siblings. You want the best for your parents. You want the best for your children. You want the best for your friends. Every one of us has those natural inclinations to want the very best for the people we love. And that's one of the marks of the person whom we are going to look at this morning. And her name is Salome. And the title of the sermon is Salome, She Wanted the Best for Her Sons. Now we'll see the good parts and the not so good parts of that. Actually, there are two Salomes in the Bible. Interestingly, one is named and one is not. The one who's not named is named by tradition, but not in the Bible. She's the one who danced the dance of seven veils. The dance of the seven veils was what was used to encourage the king to kill John the Baptist and behead him. Bring me John the Baptist's head on a silver platter. Well, if you dance the dance of seven veils, which is a very erotic, very sensual thing, I'll cut his head off. And that's what it took, and that's what had happened. We're not focusing on her. I'm not into sensual dances this morning. You'd never know it to look at me. But there it is. What I want to talk to you about is a person mentioned in the scripture by name. And that person is Salome. She's mentioned both in the book of Mark and the book of Matthew. But as is our custom and as is our tradition, something I started when I first started to do character sketches, I'd like to open up with an interview this morning. So if you're ready, I'd like the interviewee to come on up, our Salome for the morning. Well, it looks like Sherry to me. We're at a park in the beautiful seaside city of Capernaum. I want to interview some of the women who came to the park. I'd like to know from these religious Jewish women if they have had difficulties raising their kids under the repressive regime of the Roman Empire. Well, this woman just happened to appear right here and right now. Good morning. May I ask your name?
Yes, my name is Salim.
You mean Salome, don't you?
Salome, yes.
Well, that's how you've been pronouncing it like that all your life?
Yes.
It's a beautiful name. I believe it's feminine for Solomon.
Yes, but it's also taken from shalom, meaning peace.
Well, that's a good segue to my reason for stopping you. Yeah, I'm interviewing for the Amwell website.
I've never heard of it. Website? What is that?
Forget it. It's going to take about 2,000 years for that thing to catch on.
Whatever. Could you hurry with your questions already?
I'm curious to know how hard it is to raise children under a Roman regime.
Well, my boys, James and John, already grown up, they both work in our family fishing business. Quite successfully, I might add.
I figured you would. Well, they sound like great guys. Can you share with my listeners what the key to raising such fine men is?
Yes. I don't know if you've heard of the young Galilean named Jesus. Well, my husband, Zebedee, and I became aware of him a few years ago. We heard of his message of love and forgiveness. He spoke of a kingdom of God coming to earth. We're convinced Jesus is God's promised Messiah. And my husband and I taught the scriptures to our boys from an early age. They also recognize the promises of the scripture concerning the Messiah fit Jesus. Our faithfulness to God and his word has been an example for our sons who now follow Jesus.
So you believe Jesus can change the world?
I believe he's already changed our world, and it will never be the same.
Well, thank you for your answers. Do you have any more questions or comments for me?
Yes, just one.
Uh-huh.
Do you know of any nice Jewish girls for my sons to marry? After all, I want the best for my sons.
Oh. All we know of Salome's family connections from Scripture is that she's the wife of Zebedee, a prosperous fisherman. He has a rather large fishing business. He has people who work for him. And the only glimpse we ever see of Zebedee the husband is found in Matthew 4:22. We see him and his fishing boat as he's mending his nets. And we hear Jesus calling out to his sons, James and John, to follow him. Salome told us in the interview that she and Zebedee were devoted to Jesus, and you could really see that devotion put into practice by the fact that when Jesus called James and John, Zebedee, the father, the owner of the fishing business who wanted to pass it on to his kids, he never objected to his sons following Jesus. In fact, he was kind of excited about it. Is your family excited that you're following Jesus? Are there people in your family you could get excited about if they were just following Jesus this morning? The Bible reveals that Salome was devoted to the Lord and her family. Let me give you six pieces of evidence. Firstly, Mark 15:41 tells us that Salome was one of the earliest followers of Jesus. She was one of Jesus' earliest followers. The scripture goes on to say, when he was in Galilee, she followed him and ministered unto him. That's important. That's one of the reasons for Vacation Bible School, as far as I am concerned, that young people would get to know Jesus at an early age. The sooner you start following Jesus, the better. It doesn't mean that if you're 50 and you're 60 and all of a sudden you've discovered Jesus, that it's not a good time to follow him. It's a great time. But I can only tell you this, that I came to the Lord when I was 10 years old. And now that I'm 45, I look back and I say, I'd never regretted one single day of coming to know Jesus. I started studying his word since I've been 15. And the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. But I know this, starting at an early age to follow the Messiah, to follow Jesus, to follow our Savior is a great thing for our young people. We need to do everything we can to invest in our young people. We need to do everything we can to invest in the salvation of the people around us. It is so important that our friends and our families and our acquaintances come to know Jesus Christ, especially in this day. Well, Salome and her husband wanted to see her kids know Jesus, and she started following Jesus very much from the beginning. Secondly, Mark 15:40 says that Salome was at the cross when Jesus died. In other words, she went all the way. She not only started with him, but she ended with him, so to speak. She was there from beginning to end. You know, there are a lot of folks who claim the name of Jesus. They come to know Christ as their Savior. They start coming to church. They get baptized. They disappear. People figure, well, now I'm baptized, I'm going to be okay. But this is a lifelong commitment to Christ. It starts at the very beginning, square one, when you know that you've sinned against God, when you know that you need forgiveness, when you know that it's only Jesus that can forgive you, when you ask Him to forgive you and come into your heart and ask Him to help you live the life of one who follows Christ. That's the beginning. And then all that stuff comes along in time. Will you be faithful to the end? That's what Jesus wants from us. And that's what it is that Salome gave to Him. She was there at the cross when He died. Listen to Mark 15:40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome. There she is. And each of these women were watching Jesus on the cross from a distance. Just think about the angry crowds, the mobs of people who are around the cross. Think of the bloodthirsty soldiers who are killing people one after another. It was like a conveyor line of blood and guts and death. They were afar off, and even from a distance, looking at that scene was horrific. Can you imagine the tears that they had in their eyes as they watched Jesus hanging on that cross, nails in His hands, nails in His feet, bleeding from head to toe? The one who was the promised Messiah. Don't think for a minute that they didn't have their doubts. Don't think for a minute that they remembered that He promised He'd only be in the grave 3 days. At that particular moment, they were grieving and they were mourning. Number three. Salome shared her faith with her sons. She knew the greatest legacy that she could ever give James and John was to live out her faith in such a way that they too would want to come know Christ as Savior. Are you and I living out our faith before the people we love in such a way that they see with us it's authentic? Do people see authentic faith in Jesus Christ in you on the job? Do they see authentic faith in you, in Christ, where you work, whether you're at home, whether you're in ShopRite, when you're in the neighborhood? Do they see it by the way you drive? Do they see it by the way you live? Do they see it in your kindness? Do they see it in your humility? Do they see it in you? Do they see signs of Christ in you and me? Salome and Zebedee were able to bring their sons to Christ because they showed Christ. This is a matter of show and tell. You gotta see it first before you'll ever believe it when you hear it. Not only did she go to the tomb of Christ, number four, Luke 24:10 says that Salome went to Jesus' tomb to anoint His body and went on to announce His resurrection. She was one of the women who was an early evangelist for Christ. Just like the shepherds who were there at the manger, when she saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ, she just went about and told everybody. She was on fire for the Lord. Am I on fire for the Lord? Having been a believer since I've been 10, all these years, am I on fire? Do I have a fire in my gut to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do I have a fire in my gut to tell others about Jesus Christ? Am I ashamed to be called a Christian? Or do I have the courage of my conviction? And do I have enough love and compassion to want to know if the people standing next to me, sitting next to me, and in this room know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Will I show it and will I tell it? Number five, Salome was proud of her sons. They were considered two of Christ's most beloved disciples. You know, both James and John went on to become apostles. And John was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He went on to write the Gospel of John, three epistles of John, and the book of Revelation. She did have something to be proud of. And then James and John, along with Peter, were part of Jesus' inner circle. Matthew 17:1 says this, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up to a high mountain apart. In other words, it was the four of them together, spending time, getting a break, alone together. Number six, Salome was ambitious for her sons. It's that ambition. It's the fact that she was ambitious for her sons. Not just proud. Proud could be a very positive thing, but she was ambitious for her sons. And that's probably the story and the Salome you know. Turn with me in your Bibles up here on PowerPoint to Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. And let's read the account you probably know of this lady. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. Let's stand together for the reading of the scripture. Let's read together. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We are able. And he said to them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when they heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. But Jesus called to them and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Thank you. You may be seated. Salome and Zebedee very much were studying, or students of the scripture, students of what we call the Old Testament. They knew that God made a promise. God promised that one day he would send the Messiah, the earthly savior of the world, to come into the earth and reign and rule. They were anticipating that. Religious Jews anticipating that one day God would establish a kingdom, a physical, literal, material kingdom on earth, and they were waiting for that. And when Jesus came, they thought he was that one. He was that anointed one. He was that one sent from God who would establish a physical earthly kingdom on earth. And the Bible said that he came to establish a spiritual kingdom. And sometime in the future, for that spiritual kingdom to be turned into a physical, earthly, material kingdom. And so she, believing that, wanted her sons to have a place of prominence in Jesus' kingdom. You know, everybody wants to be the leader of the band. Everybody wants to stand in front of people and be the person who's the spokesperson. So many people do. These politicians who are standing up and running for president and running for places of office, if you don't think that they have a tremendous ego, you're seriously fooling yourself. You have to think quite a bit of yourself to think that you can rule the strongest nation on the face of the earth, that you're capable and have the qualities to do that. People are like that. People are very sensitive to the fact that they're the one that can take care of everything. Only Jesus could do that. So when she made the request that her two sons would rule in prominent places with Jesus in his kingdom, Jesus knew exactly where she was coming from. And so Jesus responded to her request, which was a wrong request, in a very gentle way. And here's what he says in verse 22. He says, Ye know not what you ask. Ye ask. You don't know what you're asking. He said, you don't really understand what you're asking. You don't realize that there is a cost and a consequence to following me. In verses 22 and verse 23 of our text, Jesus asked, are you prepared to be all in? Are you ready to make a commitment to me that's going to maybe even cost your life? Are you prepared when you ask Jesus to come into your heart to be the God of your life? Are you prepared to give him your all? Are you prepared to give everything to him? Your strengths, your weaknesses, your sins, your self-deceptions, the things that hurt, the things that bring joy, the things that bring you a sense of fulfillment. Are you ready to give them to him and say, Lord, you tell me. You remake me. You make me the man, woman, a young person you've always wanted me to be. I surrender to you. He was asking, are they prepared? Are you prepared to surrender? And you know what they said? Yeah, we're all in. Did you say that to Jesus when you asked him into your heart? What happened to Salome's son? Acts 12, verses 1 and 2. This is about James. Quote, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." He was after the church. "And look, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Ran him through." Son number one paid the price for following Jesus. Number one, Salome's requests were wrong on three points. Number one, Salome didn't realize that to share in Jesus' kingdom meant to share in his sufferings. Do you realize that the 21st century is becoming probably the period of greatest persecution for people who call themselves Christians around the world? Do you realize your brothers and sisters in countries in the Middle East and in Africa are being slain the same way they were being slain 2,000 years ago? Burned to death, hacked to death, beheaded, tortured, dispossessed, made strangers in their own homeland. Do they realize the price that it was going to take to follow Jesus? And they said, yes, we're all in. And they're proving it every day the calendar turns another page. Do you remember that young girl in a lunchroom in one of the places where there was a mass shooting? And the mass shooter came up to her and he said, "Are you a Christian?" And you remember what she said? "Yes, I am." And do you remember what he did? He shot her dead. Would you be able to make that statement? Are you all in? Am I all in? Do we realize what it costs to follow Jesus? So she didn't realize that. It costs something to follow Christ. Number two, Salome didn't realize her idea of leadership was different from Jesus' example. Again, people, you know, certain people have that ego that says, "I want to run this whole ship." Certain people think that they're the ones that can be in charge and everybody's going to follow in their footsteps. Well, here's what Jesus said about that kind of leadership in verse 26 and 27. "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." That word means servant. Number 20, verse 27, "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." The idea of Christian leadership and biblical leadership is not to lord it over to people. It's to be a partner. The only difference between you and me in this ministry is that God told me to preach. I'm going to be held highly responsible for the things I say, but I'm no different and I'm no better and I'm no position higher than you. We're all in this together. You have a gift, you have a talent, you have an ability that God's given you, and you have a responsibility to allow that gift to come through. And I must say, for this congregation, we have a whole bunch of people who really, really contribute to the overall ministry. And I say publicly, I give you thanks for your partnership. And for those of you who pray for the ministry, I give you thanks for your prayers. Number three, Salome didn't realize that Jesus' mission could only be accomplished by him. Verse 28, he writes, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Only Jesus, there's that wonderful hymn, he had to walk that lonesome valley. He had to go do it all by himself. Nobody else could do it for him. He had to do it all by himself. Only Jesus could be the perfect sacrifice for your sin, because only Jesus was sinless and only Jesus was perfect. He had no sin in him. He was like a sinless, perfect, unblotted, unblemished lamb going before a slaughter. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he went to his slaughter and never opened his mouth. Imagine that kind of unconditional love. In other words, what he didn't say by his silence was this, and what he did say by his silence was, "I'm doing this because I love you. And nobody will ever love you the way I love you." Do you have that kind of love in your life? Well, that's the kind of love we started out talking about. When I ask you, do you have somebody in your life you love and that you only want the best for that person? Well, the one who loves you most, loves you best, Jesus only wants the best for you. And the best for you is to put your hand in his hand. The best for you is to trust him. The best for you is to let him love you. And the best for you, when you're going through the hard times that life will deal out, When you feel like you can't go on anymore, the best for you is for you to hang on, trust, believe, and never let go. Salome only wanted the best for her sons, and Jesus only wants the best for his children. And that's you, and that's me. Share that love with somebody else who needs it. There are people here today who need a hug. There are people here today who need a kind and encouraging word. There are people here today who need your fervent, dedicated, loyal, and powerful prayers. Let them know. Let's pray. And so this morning, Father, this lesson comes streaming across 2,000 years, written 2,000 years ago, happened 2,000 years ago, occurred just the way it says in the book. But it occurred, it happened, and it's written for us today in a hot summer July morning in 2016. Lord, I just pray that you will touch the hearts of those who have been listeners, and not just listeners, but doers also. Father, today is an important day for us to reach out to people and let them know that Jesus cares. The world is just filled with confusion and chaos and hurt hearts and hurt minds and hurt lives. And so, Lord, I just pray that we can reach out and pray for people who are hurting today. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Touch the hearts of those who need a special touch. You know what it's all about. No human being can read the heart of another, but you, God, can. And so this morning, Father, read the hearts of those who felt it was important to raise their hand today. Lord, you can focus in like a laser beam on that part of their life that needs a special touch. Doesn't necessarily mean that all things are going to be okay, but it definitely means that you're going to help us through a difficult time. Help folks through a difficult time this morning, Lord. Lift them up this morning, Father. Encourage them, strengthen them, comfort them, give them a peace that passes all understanding. Walk beside them, go before them, be behind them, be over them, and in all ways, Lord, let them know when things get really, really rough that you'll take them upon your shoulders and carry them the rest of the way. We know, Lord, that you only want what's best for us this morning. Amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.